And welcome to the Urban Suplex Podcast. I'm your host, Gerard Ka'aihui, and with me is my tag team partner, Zach Kinsella.
Hello.
Zach, what's going on?
Not much. I'm just getting ready for Denver Comic Con this weekend.
That's right. Denver Comic Con coming up this weekend, and definitely plan on hosting another podcast, an Urban Suplex Podcast, live from... Well, not live. We'll be recording one live-ish from Denver Comic Con. Really excited. This will be the second Denver Comic Con. Last year was the first. Big show. Had some pretty big news. Stan Lee was supposed to, was going to be a major guest, but he had to pull out for unknown reasons. Hopefully everything's okay.
I thought it was a conflict with his Marvel movie cameos, or his mustache had fallen off something. Oh, wow. No, it was his movie cameo appearance thing.
Wow. Well, but I mean, we've got Bill Shatner.
We do.
Right. I've met Stan Lee. I thought very gracious guy. You were actually
Stan Lee actually ran into me.
Stan Lee literally ran into Zach.
I shattered three of his bones.
But William Shatner.
I think he likes to be called Bill. He likes to
William.
You know? Have you ever watched any of his documentaries?
Some of them.
He likes roaming convention floors and surprising people.
Oh, sweet. That'd be awesome.
Yeah, I'm kind of hoping he'll pop up.
I would love to. I'd love to get him on this podcast just for a little bit. Just like, hey.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Space.
Well, for the Urban Suplex podcast, we talk about what we want to talk about. It's not necessarily about wrestling or fighting.
Right.
It's pop culture. And, this particular episode, we're probably going to talk most about Denver Comic Con, right?
Yeah. Well, that's what I'm looking forward to. And that's what we've been working our tails off for.
Yeah.
So, definitely.
Well, you have a booth set up with your writing partner, Nick. Right?
Yep.
And you guys will be promoting your book.
Yes. So our book is Midspace. It's our tongue-in-cheek space opera. I describe it as if Quentin Tarantino and Douglas Adams decided to make a comic book. So for those of you who don't know, Douglas Adams wrote The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy series and many other amazing books. So it's violent and hilarious, and it's in space.
And what issue are you guys on right now? Three?
We're working on three right now, yeah. One and two are in the proverbial can, so to speak.
Got it. And so as far as schedules, how often have you guys been releasing your book?
Well, we wanted to do it a lot more often, but since we're poor and we decided not to do Kickstarter, it's just been like almost once a year.
Mm-hmm.
Just because our book count, we put more into it. It's our first book was 32 pages. The second book was 28.
Right.
Nick is a... He's kind of sometimes he can be like the Howard Hughes of comic books and writing too much and making too much for me to do. But
I hear you.
But we're trying to trim it down. We want to do three by the middle of the summer, and then we're working on turning that all into a pitch for Image Comics.
Sweet.
Yes.
Nice.
I put a little bit more into my comics. I do some watercolor and graphite as well in there with it. So.
Awesome. No, I like the work. I like the book.
Big fan.
I know there's a couple of other huge fans of the book. So, yeah, I can't wait for episode three to come out. Excuse me, folks. I did the worst thing today, and I drank a Sprite. I usually don't drink soda. And now the high fructose corn syrup has just made me a little phlegmy today. So I do apologize for clearing my throat and coughing on this and making it even sound like
it's like
more garagey, tinny podcast. And now I'm actually
you're the opposite
to death.
Of Samuel Jackson in Pulp Fiction when he drinks that Sprite. He's like... You don't ever hear him cough.
No, I'm just not a soda guy. I do like a refreshing beverage every now and then, but unfortunately, soda.
I'm trying to become a tea guy, to be honest with you.
You like the tea?
I do, and the high fructose corn syrup will rot your system.
Oh yeah,
sure.
Totally. That's why I usually don't drink soda. I can go months and months without drinking a soda.
Yeah, that's usually what I've been trying to do, but today I tapped out.
Yeah.
We won't mention how large my soda is right now.
Yeah, it's pretty impressive size soda.
Yes, well, that's how the ladies like
it. If you ever watch Parks and Rec where Leslie's trying to get rid of those giant sodas, those are awesome.
Those are great episodes.
I can't wait for that to come out. But anyway, back to Denver Comic Con. I mean, for myself, there's three titles that I'm currently working on right now. One is Paperclip Express. It's a book that, it's characters that I created back in my junior high school days. I've been bringing it back. It is about a delivery service, a courier service set in space.
Courier service is what they would call it in space.
What's that?
Courier.
Courier in service. Space, yeah.
That's how they would pronounce it.
Courier instead of courier, yeah.
In Elysium.
Yeah. So it's heavily influenced by Akira Toriyama's work.
Sure.
Dragon Ball guy. Not Dragon Ball Z, just Dragon Ball.
Yeah, it's when very distinct.
When there was a lot of comedy difference. And a lot of, you know, it's a quest and humor. So kind of follow on that. The other book that I've got going on right now is Mongrel. That's a heavy female lead character. And then just before Zach came over, I was working on character designs for Stella Noir. That's a character that Zach and I were kind of kicking around at a Comic Fest, Comic Fest, 3 years ago.
Yeah.
So that's more of kind of like a spy thriller, a little bit of tongue in cheek about Black Widow's and Iron Man's relationship.
Yeah.
So, we're hoping to kick some of that around a little bit later this year, but you know, won't be ready for Denver Comic Con 13. Yeah. Hopefully, the three titles will be ready by next year.
That's what we're hoping for too. We want to get our second book out of the ground. It was as fun as Midspace is. I really want to get back into the serious aspect of comics as well and do something grounded. And I've always had more female fans.
Mm-hmm.
And so we wanted to do something. I did a series of illustrations about space girls. And, I mean, I got a lot of good buzz. Like, I mean, I get more women coming towards my booth and buying stuff.
Because you're just a sexy beast, isn't it?
What can I say? It's the softest beard in 10 counties.
Nice.
You.
Also, the ladies love white. Zach, right?
Yeah. That's why I'm not living alone anymore. but, yeah, we're doing a Space Assassin book as well. That's definitely down. We wanted to get the second issue out by Denver Comic Con, but I got hired on to do another book that's from a Canadian company, actually, about six cats that get kidnapped from their owner. And it's not a sad cat story book. So, I mean, it is, but it's not. There's more.
I never paid you for a cat person.
No, I'm not. I don't really like cats at all. Drawing cats is not. I was talking to Zach Howard two nights ago. I was like, dude, it is so freaking hard. Can we curse in the show?
Yeah.
It is fucking hard to draw a cat, especially if you're a dog person. Like, cats just have weird body language. I swear I watched like 40 YouTube videos to kind of get the hang of the anatomy.
Well, I mean, I'm sure it was really hard to find cat videos on YouTube, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah. Man, I mean, it was like an episode of In Search Of. You just can't find them anymore. But yeah, I mean, it's more so about this character that loses her grip on reality through schizophrenia and
this. Oh, you're just picking all the stereotypes.
Yeah, you know, exactly. And that's what was like weird. I was talking with he's a friend who wrote it, but it's like, I was like, it sounds like Crazy Cat Lady. The
Crazy
drama.
Cat Lady, exactly.
But there's a lot more to it. So I don't want to spoil anything because it's going to be an iBook exclusive and on the internets.
On the internets.
Instead of in print. So, but there's going to be six books.
Nice.
So yeah, it's pretty wild.
So I've got a couple of prints for sale at Denver Comic Con. You've got a couple of prints for sale.
I do.
So other than just basically whoring ourselves out for money with our artwork, I mean, what else are you looking forward to at Denver Comic Con?
You know, I've got some good friends that are coming back.
Yep.
You know, of course, like I said, Zach Howard, his writing buddy, Mike Reicht, will both be there. So we used to play Modern Warfare 2 until like 4 or 5 in the morning on Xbox all together. Gabriel Hardman is actually going to be here at the show.
Mm-hmm.
Good guy. Really looking forward to him, seeing him again and grabbing a couple beers afterwards. And Chris Oatley, former Disney animator who I made friends with, is going to be at the show. So, who else? Amy Reeder is going to be there. That'll be exciting.
Who's this Amy Reeder I hear a lot about here? So I think you've got a crush on this.
I think it's an anime character, actually.
Okay.
No, so she's going to be there. She actually tweeted me something the other day.
Said, oh, nice. Yeah.
But our table is right next to Jim Mafood's table.
Oh, my God. Are you serious?
Yeah, so party alley.
Yeah, well, my booth mate or my table mate, because, you know, I'm not a big enough name like you, Zach. I just kind of hop along with somebody else. I've got so Scott funny. Springer, the author.
I'm sorry?
Scott Springer. for Angry Fairy, so I'll be sharing a table with him.
The young Larry David.
The young Larry David. Wow.
No, I wouldn't say that.
So I don't know. How close is Scott and myself's table to you?
I think you're in the G's, right?
I have no idea.
We're in A.
Oh God! So
everyone else that I know is in like row G, like Kevin Jellicoe, Robert Elrod, all those guys.
So are you guys like in the popular aisle? I mean, you're sitting across from Jim Moffat.
No, we're here. This is a. I'm trying to make an illustration.
Yeah, right.
My hands.
Nobody can see what you're doing, right? But
reach out. Yeah. And touch my hand. So you know how like they're in the like there's a big U.
Yeah.
There's the corner table is ours. Jim Moffat is the bottom of the U.
Wow.
To the right is our pal Noah Van Sciver.
Yep.
And then good old Sam Spina is right next to him.
Okay.
And then there's other people, and they're like,
oh, wow.
Some other people.
Jeez Louise.
And yeah, I think you and Scott were in like J or C or something.
I'm probably in the boondocks.
We're
like
in the back ass corner of the convention.
Well, people should kind of.
But Jim Moffat will be that there, so people.
Fuck yeah, dude. Damn. I think next year I just want to have a table with you guys.
Yeah.
That's cool.
We tried to be like, hey, can you put us next to our friends? Like, but like good.
But no matter what, it seems like every convention you go to, you're always like around the cool people. You know, and I just like to sit and watch.
It's just luck of the draw.
I just have voyeuristic tendencies. I just kind of watch the car crashes that happen.
Last year we were right near where Billy West was, and he came over to our table.
Yeah, that's right. I remember because I watched your table last year.
Yeah, we had a pretty good traffic right back there. And I mean, we're kind of in the same area too. Yeah. So,
Oh, Jim Moffat, damn, I love his stuff. I'm trying to see if I can get one of his sketches because he does a. There's some pretty cool stuff.
He's interesting women. I like how he draws.
Oh, I just love his artwork. Period.
Yeah, he seems to have good taste in jazz.
I wonder if he's a little eccentric, though.
I've met him before.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's
Zach name dropping.
I know,
right?
Right
on.
What's up?
And how was
he? He was you know, when I met him in San Diego, he was just like, I am too cool for this. My sunglasses, my aviators.
Too cool for school. Yeah, yeah.
I was like, you're in a comic book convention.
Yeah.
You freaking butthole.
Yep.
But then, he was close to our table at Emerald City this year, and he was just normal dude. He wasn't like.
Yeah. Well, San Diego's a totally different beast, you know?
It really isn't
about comics anymore. I mean, I'm just saying, it's definitely about the entertainment industry. It's more movies.
I feel like a lot of conventions, like Emerald City, doubled in size this year.
Yeah.
It feels like that.
Well,
it's just pop culturing out.
Yeah, well, that's the same thing. I mean, you know, comics are cool now, you know?
Yeah.
It's like all the
weird.
Well, yeah. I know. It's the same thing. It's like.
But it's just weird.
Everything's going to be mainstream eventually. I mean,
I'm trying to get into. I don't know if I'm purposefully getting into weirder things.
You have to at this point.
I'm listening to ghost podcasts 24/7.
You know, like, look at this now. There's like an action figure TV show with the Toy Hunter. Did you run into him at the Seattle Comic Con? Because it seems like he was there.
Who
was
it?
Jordan something, the Toy Hunter.
I know the Toy Hunter.
Really?
No, I was at the beginning of the con. The best thing about that show was walking around before the con floor opened up. A, watching the people standing in line and laughing at them.
Yeah.
And then B,
wow, you're such a bastard. I think you're so superior.
No,
I used to get beat up in gym class, and now I'm walking ahead of the line.
I never got beat up in gym class. That was afterwards. Thank you. But it was funny because I never saw the Toy Hunter. I saw the comic book hunter, Bruce Timm. He was like in those comic bins and just.
Well, Bruce Timm is not really. I mean, he doesn't have a reality show.
No, but Bruce Timm.
Funny
as fuck.
Yeah, I mean, he just wrote Batman, right? I mean, yeah, the animated series.
Right.
Yeah. That guy can do whatever he wants to.
He was not very happy that weekend.
Yeah, what?
He had a cold. He was not very happy.
Yeah,
weekend.
I'm sure. Yeah, being sick during the convention. Yeah, definitely not the best thing.
I wanted to get a sketch from him, but instead I just gave him my comic book. I'm sorry.
Yeah. No, but I'm looking forward to seeing a bunch of people, too. I mean, yeah, Zach Howard, as we mentioned before. Stan Yan, who runs the comic co-op here, Squidworks. I mean, I see him all the time.
Yeah.
So. Sorry, Stan. I'm not going to be starstruck when I see him. But Stan, he's going to be so busy because his whole thing is just doing.
He's a machine.
Zombie caricatures and My Little Pony or Bronies caricatures. I was with him at NDK last year, helping him out at his table as well, and doing some sketches here and there. And then, I mean, I tell you, the throngs of guys just coming up for Bronies was incredible.
Yeah.
And man, you know what? Stan's great. He's an opportunistic person.
He's smart.
Yep, very smart, and was just drawing sketches and made good money.
Yeah.
Good for him.
This is the first con I'm doing a mashup. like we were talking a couple other artists who I won't get into. Excuse me.
Amy Reader?
No. Yeah, Amy Reader.
Who?
Reddit?
Oh, okay.
No, we were talking about, like, you know, a lot of, it feels like a lot of fans don't only really care about the characters, not the art.
Right.
Which is, I think it's a fair critique in some parts. You know, there's actually some fans who I've
met
that
are great.
That's
a pretty deep philosophical question. Say that again so it just kind of resonates. Most people care about...
Most fans don't really care about the art, per se, as much as the character. And that we found. I was like, and especially if you're at a show as big as Emerald City, it was like, yeah, you know, we got passed over a lot. And it's not like, say, like, you know, we're not popular or anything, so it's fine. But we're like right on the corner, so I was like, you can get at least some traffic here, you know, something, instead of just people walking by.
Right.
But I think, you know, as I walked around, I saw a lot of people who weren't, like, who didn't have, you know, like, Game of Thrones, Bert and Ernie or some shit like that as a print out there.
Damn, that's a great idea. Game of Thrones, Bert and Ernie.
You know, it's just... So, you know, it's just like... Like, one of my friends sold his Iron Man pages, all seven of them, made $1,400.
Nice.
And he's like, this is shitty 1993 art. We all remember what art was like in 1993.
Right.
All those lines and
but, you know, what do you think, though? Do you think people are just going to cons now, not like you said, not to just buy artwork, but to buy something that they think is going to be worth money someday?
I don't think it's like a speculator thing.
You know?
Not at all, no. I think it's just more like, you know, they're more devoted to the characters, which...
Right.
In a
so,
lot
like,
ways,
if I drew a crappy picture of Iron Man, you think that'll sell versus
some of the
artwork that I draw? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Well, I mean, I did a Major Blood character.
Yeah.
It's an obscure G.I. Joe character, granted, but,
right.
I mean, like, the Twitter retweets and all that stuff when I posted it, people are like, oh, fuck yeah.
Oh, no, you're right. You're absolutely right. So why I just draw the things that I like to draw, which is more,
right.
you know, illustrative art rather than...
Yeah.
Worrying about some lawyer coming to me like, that's property of...
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, like, my Danny Davis, who runs Steam Crow out of Phoenix, amazing illustrator. They do, like, a horror kind of, like, steampunk bend on little they do a webcomic called Monster Commute, but he does a lot of prints, like little monster prints. And their business has blown up, so they've gone and done a bunch of... he's done a couple of movies that he likes, movie posters in his own style.
Mm.
But he's like, I refuse to do, you know, big popular characters and mashups. He's like, I want to be able to, at the end of the day, be able to say I did it, you know, on my own.
Right, right.
And I was like, yeah, that's awesome. I met him in San Diego for the first time, like, 5 or 6 years ago. And we've become good friends since. And I was like, yeah, you know, I'd like to be able to say that too. But at the same time, I was like, that Major Blood print was freaking fun to draw.
No.
I know.
Yeah, I mean, it's the same thing. It's
things.
Like drawing Spider-Man and drawing,
right.
you,
and, you
know, this,
like,
that, and the other.
It's not my career goal, but at least, you know, one or two things like that.
No, it's something that people can recognize, you know?
Right.
Something that's iconic.
Yeah, and that, you know, I think little things like that bring people in, and then they start looking at your book.
Right.
And stuff. It's a weird strategy that nobody talks about when you're going to a convention.
Oh, totally.
Yeah, it's just kind of funny. It's like...
Now I got a lot of work to do, see? So.
right? You know, see what it is?
Yeah.
Yeah, so it was just... It's a weird experience, but it is... kind of a cool learning experience.
Right.
Yeah. You know.
No, you're absolutely right. You know, I've been through not as many cons as you, but I've been through a couple of cons, and you're absolutely right. You know, people will have, you know, you'll have the independent artists that are really, you know, that have that loyal fan base, but, you know, there's such a small amount of them.
Yeah.
And then you'll have, you know, those guys that are known, you know, names that we could mention, but probably we shouldn't.
Right,
that are just, they're just, you know, yeah, 100% understand. Definitely have to use. It's a good marketing strategy, though, right? Draw a character that people know and can obviously relate to, whether it's like, you know, the Iron Man's or Spider Man's or et cetera, and then, you know, draw them into the other artwork.
Yeah.
I love it.
And I mean, I like them. I think the mashups are fun.
Yeah,
I've seen a couple of really good ones.
Now define a mashup. What's a mashup?
So it's like. So you
it's
have,
not the thing on Glee, and I hate to even say that I know what the hell that thing is called.
I don't. So I was like, anything you related to Glee, I'll just say no. No, it's not like that. But a mashup, so we discussed it earlier, is like Game of Thrones meets Bert and Ernie.
Yep.
Or, it's just two characters coming together to make one amalgamation.
Right.
Like Amalgam, which was a really bad idea.
Yeah.
Hello, 90s. And people are bringing the 90s back. Weird.
Waiting for grunge to happen again, right?
Yeah. Grinder's the worst thing ever, blah, blah, blah. I have a buddy that's a, let's say, a, kind of a music hipster who loves, he loves to hate on the 90s music. I was like, well, there's some good stuff out there.
Some great stuff in the 90s. I was like,
come on now.
Unless he was into boy bands. I mean, Jesus Christ.
No, he's, Christ. You know, he's, sorry. He's like all Britpop for a lot of it, which is fine. Like Smith, Suede, you know, all that stuff. He's like, ugh, Nirvana ruined everything. Like, no, they didn't.
No, I loved it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I loved Nirvana. Fun. Nirvana was great. Green Day is still a great band, even though I don't listen to any of their new stuff at all. I love their old tinny grunge.
Yeah, sound. I was always on the fence with Green Day. I had to be in a specific mood for it.
Yeah. No, I liked their stuff until, you know, obviously they signed and it was a different sound.
Yeah, you know, I was like, yeah. They were good. They were bad. I don't know. I'm just like I said.
No, I mean,
just
it's bad. It's tough because if your friend liked British pop punk.
Yeah.
Then you listen to early Green Day stuff. I mean, it's basically...
Without a doubt.
You know, not to take us off subject, but here's the thing. You know, we were talking about this earlier about a show in the UK called Nevermind the Buzzcocks.
Right.
And I've just been digesting all of it, and I love it, and I think it's great. But, the one question that I always want to ask is, for anybody who's going to be listening to this podcast that is from the UK, I should have asked this, because most people that I meet... from the UK, we get into this discussion because I'm also the one that instigates it. We talk about accents because we all have different accents. I have an accent that I don't use unless I'm back home in Hawaii. It's the Hawaiian Creole. And, you know, you're right. When you're back home, I just revert into it. Or if I get pissed drunk, I revert
to
it.
Yeah, it's being drunk.
Yeah. It'll show your true colors. So I always ask Brits because do they feel that their way of speaking is the proper way of speaking English. And 100% of everybody that I speak to always say that, yes, we always mispronounce things like aluminum. They say aluminum or whatever. I can't even say it. And,
they say it wrong.
But then I always counter with them. It's like, okay, if your accent or your way of speaking is the correct way of speaking the Queen's English, quote unquote, then why is it whenever I listen to any British band or pop band, they all sing in English, like American.
Yeah. Well, it's the same way when we first came out here. There's a street in Denver called Galapago.
Yeah.
And it's Galapago, like right. The fucking island.
chain. Excuse me.
And it's just, and they're like, no, it is Galapago. I was like, you guys are not from Texas. Stop it. Stop it right now, because that is how someone from like Mississippi would say
right.
Galapago. Like, I don't get it. Or there's a wine coop, wind coop. Okay. Like, there's regional dialects for everything, or dumb ways of pronouncing things everywhere. But yeah, I mean, that is kind of funny.
I'm trying to find it. I mean, to me, the only person that really sings like, you know, with what I consider the accent that I know of is like Noel Gallagher from Oasis.
Or the guys from The Streets.
Yeah, but they're rapping.
Well,
yeah,
so rapping is rapping is singing?
Nope, not at all. Not at all. Yeah. Not at all. So I still argue that America.
Fuck yeah.
America, yeah, exactly. We have the superior accent.
Oh, yeah. Well, it goes without saying. Have you seen the size of our hats?
Excuse me. Damn, this high fructose corn syrup is killing me. So yeah, now that was just a little off topic with music. I still do like music from the 90s.
I do too. I don't like get lost in it per se. No. Like, I like new music a lot.
Oh, I do like new music.
You know, like,
I'm still trying to think of what, but
I
hear you're a big fan of the dubstep, right?
Yeah,
right.
I was like, so here's the thing, dubstep. Let's just talk about that for a second.
Now we're talking about music.
There are British people that are like, oh, that's the stuff you hear in America isn't proper dubstep. It all is bullshit. All right, let's just get this straight, England. It's horrible. You blew it. Own up to it.
You blew it.
It's dumb. It's dumb step. Thank you. I just called dumb that. Step. I'm sure someone else said it on Urban Dictionary 40 years ago, but it's crap. I was like, yeah, you've done some cool bands, but let's not talk about that electro crap. There is some good electro crap. LCD Sound System,
yeah.
Perfect example. But it's just like, oh, man. I don't know. Like, since dubstep is in every movie trailer now,
Wub, wub, wub. Yep.
It's replaced the record scratch in every, you know, when something crazy happens in a preview.
Yeah.
And kids are like, what is that record sound? Scratch. A what? Oh, no, they're all into vinyl. Never mind. They know what it is.
It's crazy, isn't it? I mean, I'm walking in a lot of places and they're
it has better sound quality. Look, it all sounds the same in my headphones. Yeah. Shut up.
Give me my MP3 file.
I only download vinyl MP3s. This is, shut up.
I love how people can be very, you know, picky about certain things. You know, because back in the day, we didn't really have a choice. I mean, growing up, I only had like 3 channels to choose from.
Yeah,
you
know? I know.
Man, I only had like one theater that showed one movie.
Right, yeah, you know, I was like, gosh, you know,
we had
a like, multiplex that moved in on like the last couple years lived in
Texas.
Like
crazy, blew your mind. Like, oh my God.
They're playing The Crow here.
I mean, movies are just kind of like, you know, something you would see, you know, once in a blue moon. And that's the reason why I hardly go to the theaters, because I still treat it as such.
Fair enough. I mean, today I saw Star Trek for the second time.
Oh, nice.
That Draft House has spoiled me, man.
Wow. I need to go. I haven't seen it. How was it?
Oh, you haven't seen it yet?
No, I haven't seen it.
Oh, man. Yeah.
No. Yeah. No, not at all.
Yeah, you should go.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed it.
Really? Because I keep on hearing, like, J.J. Abrams just shat upon it.
J.J.
So check this out. I go down.
Talking to you.
No. I go to the Lego store in Park Meadows. So Park Meadows Mall has a Lego store.
I know.
I've never been there.
Oh, it's beautiful.
I've always walked in it. I've always walked past it because...
Were you looking at the Thai Beanie Baby kiosk?
No. I mean, you know... Well, maybe I was. I don't know. I didn't know there was a Beanie Baby kiosk out there, to be honest.
It's right there.
Oh, that's crazy. It was every time I go there, it's just been super packed and crowded, you know?
Oh, yeah. That place at Christmas time was cool.
You know, and if you're over 30 and you're walking near the Lego store, you kind of feel a little pedophilia-ish, right?
Sort of.
Like, everybody's looking like, what are you doing in here?
There's
you know?
A
like,
dude
that, really, I like Legos.
I like Legos. Yeah. Screw you. Haven't you watched the South Park documentary?
So I went there and there was nobody in there because it was a weekday. Thank goodness.
Beautiful day.
Yeah, so I had the chance to kind of, you know, sit down, look around, and you know, the giant Legos that are like $200-$300 for all these Star Wars Legos,
that B-wing or whatever,
a tiny little Boba Fett figure, you know, the little Lego minifigures, $10. I was like, are you kidding me? So, you know, the guy stocking the shelves started talking to me about stuff, and was going about Star Wars is like, you know, it's complete shit. He hates Star Wars, you know, because of the first 3 episodes just totally ruined Star Wars for him, you know. And this guy was probably in his mid-20s, I'd say early 30s at the most.
It's funny because my dad's church works there.
Oh,
and so I was like, what if it's that guy? Like,
could be that guy. Yeah, it was just totally shitting upon the whole thing. And then somehow we got into the discussion about Star Trek versus Star Wars.
Of course.
Oh, because we're talking about licensing and all this stuff. And then, of course, he brings up the whole J.J. Abrams and just totally shit on Abrams. You know, it's like, oh, you know, he's even admitted that, you know, he hates, you know, he was on The Daily Show, I guess, and admitted that he hated it, never seen Star Trek. Hired writers had never seen it, you know, didn't like it because it was too cerebral and blah, blah, blah. And so, yeah.
Dude, I'm sorry. I love the first Star Trek movie. Goddamn, that movie's boring. I mean, you sit
there... Which Star Trek movie are we talking about?
Like, 1980 Star Trek.
Okay, yeah.
Or 1978, sorry. Whatever.
Yeah, some people may not know that there's a first Star Trek movie.
That's true.
J.J. Abrams did.
The original Star Trek with the bald alien.
Yeah.
The movie was... And then you find out, like, you know, spoiler alert.
Yeah.
It's Voyager. And it's like, right. I mean, that was great. That was worth the payoff. Like, that movie is
But
like,
they try to tie that whole... V'ger thing
V'ger
and with the Borg.
Right.
Right.
Yeah, the Borg?
Yeah.
When was that?
I can't remember. But, you know, that whole consciousness?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was supposed to, like, play into the whole...
Oh, wow. I didn't know that.
Borg.
I guess I have to go look up on Trekkipedia or whatever the fuck is on
there. Something like that. Of course, I'm just sparring a hearsay, so all the Star Trek nerds will probably be attacking me.
They're going to attack me right now because I'm going to say, like, dude, after I watched Star Trek 2, The Into Darkness... I went back. I watched Space Seed, the original Khan episode, which was great. I watched Wrath of Khan afterwards. Like, I did like a little marathon, and I was like, "Oh man, this was awesome!" Except for the fact that the Enterprise and Khan ship drive slower than a 95-year-old grandmother on the highway.
So he's supposed to be Khan,
right?
So you ruined it for me.
I'm sorry.
Thanks a lot. Spoiler alert! Spoiler: Bernard Cumberbatch's character is actually Khan.
I'm sorry,
Benedict. Right?
Benedict. I didn't think it was really masked that well, but Sorry.
It's all right.
Excuse me. Excuse me for the rest of the audience out there. No. But so, I mean, it's just, it's one of those things.
So that's like, what he was talking about, too. Is like, oh, that was a spoiler alert. That, you know, it's not the other dude, Gary or whatever.
Gary?
Yeah, the one guy, sorry.
Gary Newman?
No, no. In one of the Star Trek episodes, he was the guy that gained omnipotent powers. It was him and another girl.
Oh, yeah.
And that's what they were releasing, Benedict.
John Harris.
No.
That's who his name is in Into
it.
Darkness.
Whatever. Okay.
Yeah, it's Batman Begins, Ra's al Ghul.
Oh, God. Oh, boy.
Like, you're like, huh?
Everybody likes to rewrite our canons, you know, our history and things.
Well, you know, that's kind of what I didn't like about that first Star Trek that Abrams did. I was like, God, how many times have we seen that done in comic books? Like, really, how many times have you seen that alternate out reality thing?
I don't know. You know what? What took me out of that first movie was when they started playing Sabotage.
Yeah.
Whenever it just took me out of my whole, like, oh, I mean, no, what's going on here?
Like,
not that I don't like the BC Boys, but it's like, you know, those moments in movies that kind of take you out of that fantasy realm. That
it doesn't make it timeless.
It's a good song. I don't
know. I don't know. The BC Boys. I don't want that kind of hatred on my life.
Right, exactly.
But so yeah,
like maybe they should play like One Direction or something. No, I'm just kidding.
I don't even know what that is, but it makes me mad.
Yeah, they have dolls and action figures. I guess it's like a boy band. I just hate boy bands.
As men, I don't think we're supposed to like them.
There's some people that do like them boy bands.
Those are men.
I had a good friend of mine who passed away, but he was a big fan of Color Me Bad.
Interesting.
Would sing it. I mean, this guy is pretty hard. I mean, you know. He rolled with some pretty tough guys, and you know, as a mechanic
were
and everything
a
like that.
Boy band though, because those guys are like 35 when they recorded.
They kind of fall in that genre, right? It's just like
with Snow, with the Informer.
Ooh, Informer. That's classic.
I think that's white rap, not boy bands.
Boy band, Color Me Bad. I Adore Me Amore. You know,
I don't know, because it's like that whole Boys to Men area.
Right. Yeah, well, I kind of consider that, you know. It's like, you know, they had like, yeah, I mean, it's like New Edition. I mean, yeah, they were young, but it's still kind of, you had New Edition, and then you had New Kids on the Block, and, you know, you had Menudo back in the day, and then you had them all growing up to the
Sex Pistols.
Belle Biv DeVoe, you know. Yeah, maybe, I'm sorry, maybe I'm being narrow-minded, but I'm lumping all that shit together.
Well, that's fine, I'm not I'm not defending it, whatever.
You get a lot of haters.
Yeah, there's a lot of hate. I don't know, I still think you should see Star Trek Into Darkness.
Oh, I definitely will.
Because there's some damn good shit in that movie. Yes. But it's kind of interesting, you know.
I just saw Iron Man 3, you know, when it opened.
What'd you think?
It was better than 2.
Yeah.
Way better than 2.
Yeah. I thought there's a lot of good dialogue to it. I like the twist. Yeah. Some people didn't. I was fine with it.
For some reason,
I got a good laugh.
Being a comic book nerd, you just like, yeah, saw that already. I mean,
come on. But did you care? But it was about a 50-year-old stereotypical Chinese racist stereotype. Right?
Well, he wasn't even Chinese, though. That was the whole thing.
Yeah,
I don't even think they the way they presented a movie. You know,
oh, no, he wasn't Chinese in the
movie. That's what I'm saying. You didn't know about it, you know?
Yeah, but doesn't anyone really give a... Like, I mean, but there's a bunch of people on the internet that say they gave a crap about the Mandarin, but do they have any of his first appearance comments or any of that shit? No.
No, of course not.
Like, well, why would you care?
Let's be honest. I mean, before these movies, I mean, Iron Man was just a fucking boring character. Yeah.
When we saw the first Iron Man, we're like, Iron Man, really?
No, I actually thought it was a good thing. I actually thought when I first saw the trailers that Robert Downey Jr.
Yeah.
You know, my wife and I, we got into that whole thing. She said, why him? It's like, if anybody's going to play Iron Man, he's the perfect one. And if you make Iron Man cool, it's definitely Robert Downey Jr.
Oh, yeah. So here's the thing. We're talking about Iron Man 3. It feels like a neutered movie.
Yeah. You know what?
It feels like...
Totally. I totally get where you're coming from with that.
Because we're talking about Robert Downey Jr. Yeah. We're talking about Tony Stark. Two characters who have had that substance abuse issue. Right. Where the fuck did it go? It was like, you have this, he's like, I get the post-traumatic stress syndrome part of it. I thought it was a cop-out, though. I was like, you could have really gone balls out.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think Hollywood is ready to tackle an issue where a superhero has a huge substance abuse
problem. I think
that's
bullshit.
You know?
That's bullshit. Oh,
totally, it totally is.
I was like, I can't, what, did none of us see Hancock? The first 40 minutes of that movie were great. Alcoholic Will Smith.
Yeah.
Could have used Carlton.
I don't know. I'm sorry. I'm not a big Will Smith fan.
That's fine. But I'm just saying, it's been done. He was an alcoholic superhero.
Not to the extent of what Tony would, you know? I'm just saying, it's like...
Well, he's a much more popular character.
No, but I think Tony Stark's, you know, his problems are pretty deep. And, I think that's part of the reasons why he had to be an Avenger, to make him more interesting as part of an ensemble rather than a standalone.
Yeah.
I mean, even Green Lantern. I mean, he was a boring character, and so was Green Arrow. That's why he teamed him up.
When Geoff Johns took over... Hal Jordan's character.
Yeah.
Man, amazing.
Well, I've always been a fan of Green Lantern. Same here. I can admit he's kind of a boring guy.
Not anymore.
Yeah. Oh, totally.
Over the last 10 years, man.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Definitely.
Great. But.
Sorry, isn't Geoff Johns going to be at that one?
No, he's not.
Damn it.
He's too cool for our show.
Damn. Thanks a lot, Jeff. No,
Stan Lee, too.
Stan,
yeah, well, you know, it's kind of interesting. It's like they've. You know, just keeping on that same track. It's like they've taken. You have your comic book characters, like The Thing, Wolverine, cigar smokers. And then, like, in the mid-2000s, early 2000s, case I was like, they're not smoking anymore.
Yeah.
It sets a bad example for kids. And I get it. But at the same time, your market's old fat dudes.
Yeah.
Dudes like me.
I mean, it's tough. I mean, you know, growing up, I grew up around alcoholism and. Drug abuse, and it's like, yeah, you know, the comics that kind of appealed to me when I was a kid was a good escape, you know?
Sure.
Like, I think I remember the first comics that I read was like Fantastic Four.
Yeah.
And, you know, there was a lot of different things going on with Dr. Doom, Latveria, and all this other kind of stuff. But what I really liked about the comic books back in those days, Stan Lee comics and things like that, is it didn't really talk down to me.
No, not at all.
You know, it didn't talk down to me at all.
Yeah, exactly.
Then you flash forward to the 90s and you have all this, like, gratuitous, you know, crap, like, with, I like Preacher, but, like, Preacher was, like, that book, you know, the Hellblazer series. Those were kind of the books that just kind of, like, whoa, what's going on here?
I'd say more like Spawn and Brigade and all that shit.
Spawn is just...
It's horrible.
Yeah.
It's fucking awful.
Sorry. Spawn was just...
Nobody cares about Spawn.
Oh, people love them some Spawn and Todd McFarlane.
Oh. But, I mean, that's the stuff I felt like I was just like...
McFarlane, I mean, he's a huge name. I appreciate the stuff he's contributed, but I was just never a big fan.
Yeah, I mean...
Did I buy Spawn 1? Hell yeah, I did.
Yeah, I had a good couple of Spawn comics.
It was groundbreaking what they did back in the day.
Oh, yeah.
Right? So, no, I appreciate the stuff that they did. I'm just not a big... Yeah.
But I think that's more of the baby of, like, the Frank Miller 80s. Right. You know what I mean?
Oh, totally. Well, then when I got into Japanese manga in junior high school, that was a totally, you know, different thing.
Yeah. Like, when I first started watching Akira, man, that was...
Well, that was great, wasn't it?
I just remember the first anime that, you know, after Robotech and Voltron and all that stuff, I was exposed to the 80s. And then when I started seeing stuff like Late Night on TBS when I was a kid, like Vampire Hunter D.
Yeah, exactly.
You know,
love that.
Galaxy Express. All that stuff. Star Blazers.
That was one of the first... That and Robotech was like the first cartoon.
Yeah.
First cartoon, animated series, whatever you want to call it, where I saw that somebody died and stayed dead.
Right, yeah.
You know, didn't magically come
outside
back.
Outside of, you know, Transformers the movie.
Yeah, but that was after. I think Transformers the movie...
it was 86.
They picked it up. Well, Optimus came back.
I guess. Yeah.
That's a cop-out.
Ironhide didn't.
Yep.
Ironhide got shot in the face, so what's that?
But he's a robot. You know? Nobody died in G.I. Joe the movie. Right?
Yeah. Well, Duke was supposed to die, but then they're like, Duke's come out of his coma.
Well, exactly.
Because a bunch of dumb fucking kids couldn't handle Optimus Prime dying. I mean, do you remember hearing about kid was like, I'm locking myself in the closet. Optimus Prime is dead. I can't handle this. I remember back in the day before, this is going to be horrible, but before 9/11 happened, we had a lunch. I remember having a lunchroom discussion with some friends, and they're like, Optimus Prime was the JFK assassination of our
generation. My God, are you. What?
That was the defining assassination of our generation.
Wow, I can't believe it.
The defining tragedy of our generation was the death of Optimus Prime. I was like, I'll take it.
Oh my God! Wow. God, I think you should do that mashup right there. Just the whole limousine instead of JFK there with the target scope on him. Have Optimus Prime sitting there waiting.
Like Starscream creeping out of the grass, you know.
Oh my gosh, that is just horrible. I can't believe that. That's funny as hell.
It would be Perceptor making the argument. Back into the left. Back into the left. Back
oh, jeez. Holy crap. I'm just... I'm just blown away by that comment. That's
like a 20-year-old comment.
Jesus. How? Who made this argument?
It was back in high school. I forgot which one of my dumb friends what it was.
Jeez.
You're dumb. Well,
I've heard some stupid things, but that one takes a cake for
right now. Yeah, it's a
right
cake
now.
Taker.
Jeez. Okay. Wow, I got to get this thing back on track.
Yeah, we went on some huge tangents.
No, that's fine. This is what it's about. I'm just going to hear talking about crap this whole time. No, movies are good. You know, like we're talking about pop culture really invading the cons. And in some ways, I kind of hope it does on Denver because, you know, I'd really like to see more of a more movies being shot in Denver, more entertainment. You know, the entertainment industry coming up strong in Denver. I'd love to see that.
It's interesting because I had a talk with, who's going to be out here, Gabriel Hardman, we were talking about that. And he's like, the movie industry kind of... it goes through one place and kind of eats it up and uses all of its resources and moves on. It's like Unicron.
Nice.
You know?
Good reference, yeah. It's like a Galactus.
Yeah, he's right? Like, give me all your tax cuts. You know? Yeah. So it's interesting. It's like, you know, I hope I'm not going to get any hot water. Probably not. But, I mean, it's just, who's going
to
hear this?
Exactly. Who's listening to this podcast anyway?
So.
Just besides you and myself. And
Ron
and
Howard.
And our fire.
Hey. Oh, yeah. So... watch those new Arrested Developments, speaking of.
Yeah?
I've been enjoying
it. Sorry, were you going to finish your thought about the movies?
Well, I mean, I think it's like, it's half and half. Because, you know, like, there was that South Park episode about the movie festival.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, oh, the poor movie people. Or you go back to that Simpsons episode where the town was trying to milk the
Or the Family Guy episode.
Every single thing that's made fun of their Hollywood stepfathers, you know. But it's interesting. It's like, yeah, you know, like, it brings that kind of tourism in there. And then, like, it starts off with the hip people. Then it kind of bleeds into the rednecks with, like, get out of my city. You know, we don't need you. No Walmart. That kind of stuff.
No Walmart.
And then it's like, it brings in revenue to pay for potholes that are fucking everywhere. So, you know, it's just kind of one of the things. Like, it pays
money into the economy. Look at it here. I have 3 Walmarts in less than 5 miles.
Man, I ain't got shit in my
neighborhood. And I got 2 Targets within 5 miles.
I have, so here's an interesting thing. I have the Museum for Black Western Culture
nice.
In my neighborhood. I'm going to go as soon as I can.
Okay.
Because I'm really interested to see what that's all about. Mm-hmm. And I was walking down this.
It's not the dude from...
Blazing Saddles. Sorry.
I knew you were thinking that.
Yeah, people like that. So way to go, Blazing Saddles guy.
Get out. Where's the dude from Blazing Saddles? Way to be culturally sensitive.
Yeah.
Thanks a lot.
Whatever. They're always asking me for money, so I don't give a shit.
Oh, jeez.
No, there's a lot of cool people in my neighborhood. But it's very... I live in Five Points in Denver, so it's very...
That's Five Points?
Yeah. The Five Points Jazz Festival was right there, so...
Oh, I thought you were... Oh, I guess you are. Okay.
It's not... It's just like living in downtown Savannah.
Yeah.
Like, people are like, it's a horrible part of town. I was like, that's because you live in a place like this, and you're used to 3 Walmarts and 2 Targets.
Exactly.
And Bally. And,
Zach was pointing out a place like this, I live in suburbia.
Yeah. Which is fine.
Yeah. It's where all the meth dealers live. I mean, come on. they buy an inconspicuous house, and yeah.
Exactly. And your house, the house across your blow up.
Exactly.
I never knew. They just walked in and out.
Yeah,
all the time.
There's some horrible freaking child molester living next to you. You never know.
Or it could be the gang from Point Break that Anthony Kiedis was in. Do you remember those guys?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Could be those guys. With their AKs.
At least they're skydiving, surfing, you know.
It's one of the greatest movies ever made. Back off, Warchild.
Oh, my gosh. One of the greatest movies ever made. I need to go rewatch that movie.
It's going to be on Film of the Rocks on Red Rocks June 9th.
Nice. Way to plug Red Rocks.
Yeah,
I've not watched a movie there.
Me neither.
I've only gone there to try to attempt to run the stairs.
I didn't run in the stairs. Well, I walked up them, and I...
That was rough. I think I got, like, 5 or 8 steps in, and I was, like, done.
Yeah. But,
or, you know, I've seen concerts there. But, yeah, I've never seen a... I've never gone to any of the worship services there or the or the movies.
Yeah, me neither. I mean, it's not like I can't drive out there, you know, but it's like,
it's great. I mean, it's, you know, usually when I have friends come visit, that's one of the first places I take them to.
Yeah, go to Red Rocks. It's beautiful.
It's where U2 performed.
It is, where the Beatles performed. Yeah. Talking Heads.
Talking Heads? Who hasn't performed there?
I don't know.
Yeah. I guess if you're anybody, who's somebody. Or
I would guess so. I would imagine so. It's got good acoustics.
Yeah, it's great. I like it.
Yeah. So this has been interesting.
That has been
interesting. Hope you're enjoying it.
Hope you're listening still. Yeah, no. So movies covered a little bit about it. We've seen Star Trek.
Really looking forward to that Superman.
Are you?
Oh, I can't sit in my seat when I'm watching that preview.
Really? I'm so jaded.
It's fine. You're going to love it.
I'm just jaded. I don't know why. It's kind of like...
It looks so... Like, it's not... You know, like the old Superman movies, it's like...
I'm still trying to think of the last movie that I actually forced myself to go to, sit in a theater that I really enjoyed. That I was like, damn.
This has been like an argument for you for 10 years at least. Like, I remember when we first saw Lord of the Rings, you're like, I'm not going to go see a movie until the next Lord of the Rings.
Really?
Yes, I remember that. You're like, I don't want to spend my money unless I'm having that kind of experience.
That is true. That was a good sound and everything. Yeah.
And I won't lie to you. I was like, I don't think we talked for like 20 minutes after that movie. We're just kind of wandering around like,
Totally. The glow of the movie.
The basking
in that whole after. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm trying to think of the movies that came out this year that I'm like, I saw Oblivion. Quite enjoyed that.
Which one was that one?
The Tom Cruise.
That's why I didn't see it. I'm just
it's
so
based
Andy
on
Cruise.
A comic book.
Yep.
And the comic book writer also directed it.
Yep. I know. People are telling me I should go see it.
Gorgeous.
It's just, I don't know. Like, I enjoy Tom Cruise movies when I'm not sitting in a theater watching it. If it's like, you know, on HBO, like, what was that one? A Night and Day? I just caught it on, like, HBO.
I have no idea what that is.
That's Tom Cruise and what's her face? Cameron Diaz.
But I ain't watching
it. It was all right. Yeah, you know, or what's the other one? My buddy was telling me Jack Reacher.
I ain't watching that shit.
Exactly.
But, I mean, I was like, I feel like there's been a crop of pretty good sci-fi movies the last year.
There's been
too.
A lot of sci-fi movies. Like Looper I still, is Looper, I haven't watched yet.
Oh, man.
I own it, and I still haven't watched it. It's like Judge Dredd. I own it, I haven't watched it.
And you haven't seen Dredd, man. My Blu-ray is going to melt before I'm too soon. I've watched
Sweet.
It so much.
Sweet. I need to watch it. I know.
And the soundtrack is
great. I'm horrible at that. I'm horrible. I'll get movies that are like,
call
I
you
know.
Jabroni.
I'm fine with that. I'll take that.
Jabroni.
Because I'll buy movies that I know are good, like Looper, and...
Looper's fantastic. I'm really looking forward
for
to Elysium.
I still haven't watched Kick-Ass yet.
Oh. Really?
I haven't watched Avatar.
The Last Airbender?
No. Oh, I'll watch that one.
You own a copy of Dances with Wolves in Space?
Yep. And I haven't watched it yet.
It's like Pretty Mushrooms and...
it's like, I don't know. It's like,
Sam
that's a problem.
Rockwell,
I think that's
Sam
why I've held it off, because everybody's dissed that movie so much or even loved that movie so much. But when that South Park episode came out, Dances with Smurfs, I was kind of like, okay, I pretty much know
You've
what's going
it.
On. Yeah, I've seen You've Avatar.
Seen
yeah.
That's all it is. Hey, that's some really cool glowing mushrooms. It's a Final Fantasy game.
Jesus.
But I'm really looking forward to Elysium. Can't wait. You know, Matt Blomkamp.
Yep. I'm actually looking forward to see that.
Fucking awesome.
Where did I see that? I was just like Prometheus. I saw Prometheus in the theaters. I was not happy.
No. Nick liked it a lot, my writing partner. Yeah. I was like, you know, it was cool. This is the thing that bugged me about it, and this is such a dumb thing, but I feel like it's a dumb thing to have in a movie. You're running, something is falling on top of you.
Right.
You're running straight. Why don't you go to the right or the left? It's falling on top of you.
Yeah,
turn
you know?
The other direction.
How do you know?
She looked back 40 times.
But then you don't have awesome. What's that?
I guarantee you.
That awesome Charlie Chan moment. You know where the Charlie Chan. Yeah, that's what do you think of it? Charlie Chaplin. Sorry,
Charlie Chaplin.
You know, or Buster Keaton moment. You know where the building falls on him.
Oh, the window.
Yeah, exactly.
No, like, so she, this, like, so this is my sort of
But wasn't she, whatchamacallit anyway?
they're saying that the rumor is that she's a replicant.
Right.
Which I think would be kind of fucking awesome.
What's the difference between a replicant and an android again?
Replicants were cooler? I don't remember.
Well, an android knows it's an android. Where a replicant
replicants didn't know.
But the problem is, like, if you're an android, then why the hell did you have emotions and feelings? Remember?
Yeah, I sort of.
Remember, because he was all pissed off because the guy said something, and that's why he jacked him up?
Okay. Yeah, that's right, yeah. I don't know.
Somebody email me and figure
explain to me. One of you nerds, send us an explanation. We'll ignore it.
I won't read anything unless it's like 30 pages long. But
someone probably has a dissertation on it.
You know what? Actually, I'll look something up about that. Yeah, the difference between replicants and androids. Anyway, sorry, your point.
Good bathroom reading.
Right. Cinematography-wise, the cinematography was beautiful. I thought it was a great movie.
And that's a problem I have with a lot of people when they go see a fucking movie and they don't like it. That movie, there was nothing redeemable about that movie. I was like, you have paid so much attention to fucking plot holes that you notice nothing about, you know, the compositing, characters, anything. Like, people really bitched about the ending of Lost, which is fine. But I was like, fuck, you had 6 seasons to get to really know these characters. And I mean, a lot of people would say, like, oh, Madman is so boring. I can't be further from agreeing from those people, because
you have to kind of look at it too. I mean, and from a television standpoint, people want to be spoon fed.
Oh,
you know, and because, you know, we go through the whole thing where it's I struggle with this a lot when I'm sitting down with certain people or trying to watch a program, and I'm trying to invest. And that's the thing. That's a difference. When I'm watching a movie or I'm watching TV, I am investing myself.
Right.
Into that
movie. Exactly.
I'm watching it. I'm not just listening to the dialogue. I'm seeing how, you know, they're shot. I'm seeing what's going on.
Yeah, you know.
You know, and that's how I enjoy watching TV. And then you get somebody who's like, I don't get it, or blah, blah, blah. And that's why shows like Big Bang Theory and, you know, 2.5 Men or whatever are so damn popular, because it is just spoon fed to the masses.
It's weird, man. I mean, like,
I enjoy the Big Bang Theory. I mean, it's fine. But, you know, I can watch it like one time and, you know, be done with it and move on to the next one. You know, it's just background noise.
It's like someone had put it like as a weird co-opting of nerd culture. Like, you see all these basketball players with like fake glasses on, and I was like, gosh, like, I feel like I have left is self-loathing. There's no nerdy part. It would just be nerdiness and self-loathing. That was a good package, and also a healthy general hatred of everyone.
Right.
Now I just have, there's no, the nerdiness has been co-opted. I don't know what to do. I feel like I was like, oh, I need to, like, I listen to Mysterious Universe. I feel like that's my secret nerd
Mysterious thing. Universe podcast.
Yeah, it's just such a great little tongue-in-cheek talk about, you know, the mysteriousness of our universe, UFOs, ghosts, all that kind of weird shit. But, you know, they don't take anything too seriously, and that's sometimes they do. But I was like, fuck, I want to keep it my secret. I don't want people to know.
Right.
I was like, I'm mad at myself. I'm talking about it right now. But it's such, like, I feel like podcasts, like doing this, is like, it's our own secret nerdy NPR. People, I can say, oh, would you listen to this podcast? Like, what's the podcast?
That's cool, because, like, you know, we're talking about before you had certain comic books that you can kind of find some common ground with.
Oh, yeah.
You had music before you could find some common ground with. You had movies you could find common ground with. And now it's just kind of like so generic now.
Yeah.
Now you can go to the podcast and find that, like,
right,
oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You're cool. You're in the know. You listen to the Sirius Universe. You know. You listen to NPR.
Oh yeah, dude.
You listen to this.
And
you listen to Smodcast.
Sometimes. Yeah. It's funny because, like, I don't like being the person that wants to exclude people from stuff. You know what I mean? I was like,
no, I do it all the time. So
but
I
yeah,
know.
I do.
No.
I do. Do it. I was like, there's a very elitist part of me. I will admit that. But I was like, it reminds me of 7th grade. Nirvana, Metallica were big, and all these yuppies were walking around with Metallica t-shirts tucked into their Maurice and Francois Jabot jeans with the little belt hanging out and their combat. It's just like, fucking yuppies are ruining it. And it's kind of like a weird thing, like, you know, that's how nerd culture is. And I was like, I wonder if there's going to be a jock backlash.
What do you mean?
So, like, there's going to be, like,
baseball, football.
Bringing that shit back, bro. You know? And I was like, it's weird because, like,
I don't know if you can say it because it's always been out there. I mean, no matter what, I mean, that's why you still have the NFL, right? Oh, yeah. You still have major league sports. It'll always be out there.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I don't know of many comic book artists making the type of money a professional football player makes.
I don't think there's any.
You know, and that's the thing. There's still, like, there's not a lot of schools that, you know, are specializing or recruiting comic book artists or writers. You know,
they're more
focused on illiterate athletes. And
even the art school that we used to go to is still making sports teams, which is the retardedest.
The only
thing
art
ever.
School that I know,
the retardedest, yes.
Yeah, the only art school that I know that actually has a sports team. Yeah.
Could you be stupider?
Well, hey man, more money.
More money.
More money. The only art school that I know that has even questions.
That is the Federal Reserve.
Yeah. It's all about the Benjamins, baby.
Glad that's not on my diploma.
It's on mine, damn it. So, well, I mean, yeah, it's just kind of how things move.
I mean, it's kind of weird because it's like, you know, the other day I was at Chipotle, actually like a week or two ago, and I was sitting there and I was reading some comic books, and the girl sits there and she's like, "What are you reading?" And Five Ghosts from Image Comics. She's like, "I love superhero comic books on the comics." She's like, do you read those too? I was like, "Oh yeah, I read Jonathan Hickman's Avengers." And he's bringing back the new universe and that. And I was like, it's weird to have, like, this is a conversation that just started out of nowhere. Right. This is like 22, so, you know, I'm like a dated 22-year-old. But it was just kind of like, wow, this is weird. So she's like, "Well, so, like, you read comics. This is your thing. I like comics too. Are you going to Denver Comic Con?" And I was like, "Well, we have a table there."
Way to blow her mind here.
I know. I was like, "Oh, I made comic books."
Zach the P magnet by dropping the dip. Yeah, well, I'm actually.
I actually have a table there.
Yeah.
I'm a magician, by the way. No, but it was just kind of weird. Like, you know, it's so like, especially I feel like in Denver, it's very pervasive downtown, where I live. Yeah. You know, there's like we have the country's biggest zombie crawl.
Yep.
And I was like, there's a lot of people that are, like, super into, like, you know, nerd culture. And it's kind of cool because I was like, man, you know, it's like, people are like, "Oh, cool Spider-Man shirt. Cool this, cool that." And I was like, instead of, like, "Hey, jerk, nice Spider-Man shirt.
Right, right.
Let's beat you in the nuts." Yeah. Run! So, it's interesting. I'm not saying it's bad. I'm not saying it's, like, great. But it's just like, wow, this is weird.
I think for both of us, I think we both grew up with a lot of close-minded people.
Oh man,
you know,
yeah.
Saying like, "Oh, you know, yeah, well, yeah, exactly." You know, just saying like, "Oh, art is not going to get you anywhere," and you know, just being very close-minded. This is the path that you have to go through. I mean, even like with a lot of, you know, in Asian cultures, right? You know, they have that whole pressure to, you know, be a doctor, be a lawyer, be this, be that. And instead of following, you know, what you want to do. And in some ways, you know, everybody just wants, you know, that culture, that generation, they basically want you to have a success, you know, because of all the hard work that the previous generation has done. I get it, and I totally understand it. But I think that's the reason why you and I are both that way sometimes, where, you know, we grew up with so many people kind of shitting upon the stuff that we like and what we do. So that's what I'm saying. Like, look, you like collecting action figures? I love collecting action figures, you know? You like collecting ball joint dolls, you know, fantastic, you know.
Right? Yeah.
Tell me more about it, because yeah, that's kind of the fringe culture that's out there now, right?
It is. And I mean, that's it's cool. Like, I was like, like you were talking about, like, I feel weird going as a 30 something going into a Lego store. I don't give a damn.
Yeah,
I was like, Mama Highlands Ranch can look at me all she fucking wants. I'll go buy all my Lego sets and throw it in her face. That's right. I'm building all this shit tonight.
Yeah,
because
really, like, what 5-year-old can afford a $200 Millennium Falcon?
Yeah, seriously.
I mean, give me a break.
Get out of here.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
You're not buying it for your. I mean, yeah. I don't. Whatever.
Yeah.
You're buying it for yourself. Just share. You know, share that experience with your kid. You know.
Yeah, but I mean, the guys that work at that Lego store, they're a bunch of nerds.
Yeah.
I mean, I've talked to them a couple of times.
But going back, too, it's kind of like, remember, like, wow, years ago, right, we were on a trip, it was you, me, and my wife, right, and we went down south, and we came back up, we stopped in a comic book store, and it's that whole joke that's, you know, that they're using now in Big Bang Theory. A girl walks in a comic book store, all the geeks are like, excuse me, and now you see, it's like, gosh, there's so many girls and so many women involved in comic books today, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, that's, again, another stereotype. And it's great for girls to be able to come out and, you know, say that, you know, they love comics. They like certain, you know, there's certain heroes now that they can kind of look up to. And there's a lot of comic book artists and writers that are women that,
yeah,
you know.
No, without a doubt.
You know.
Yeah, it's funny. I was like, it's funny that joke is still around, but it's funny because it's still true. You walk into comic shop.
Well, I will never forget that. As soon as she walked in with me, it was just kind of like everybody went, yeah.
Girls.
I tap, you know, playing magic. I tap my
Yeah, okay. So, recently, this is a next generation kind of question. Not that next generation.
Okay.
You've had a daughter recently.
Yeah.
And I know we've spoken before, is like, she's going to end up watching Robotech. It's just going to happen.
Right.
So, when you introduce her to Star Wars, how are you going to do that?
Oh, the way that I watch Star Wars.
Okay, all right.
The way that I try to introduce my wife, who still has yet to watch Star Wars,
refuses to sit down and watch Star Wars. There is no surprise.
Yeah.
So I read recently, and I went through this myself, and I found it pretty interesting. I'm just waiting for someone who's willing to try the experiment on their kid. So they have a way to watch it that's actually pretty cool. So you watch 4 and 5, like we started out with,
mm-hmm.
and then you stop with the Darth Vader reveal.
Mm-hmm.
And then you go watch those prequels.
Mm.
Now there's an option.
Yep.
You can cut that first movie out, and it does not matter worth a damn. So you go 4, 5, 2, 3, then watch that Jedi. It's a pretty cool way to watch it,
mm.
if you have to watch the prequels.
Right.
Because I was like, oh, God, you know, it's like... So I was thinking about that, and that's just, that was, it's not running anywhere after that, but I was just like wondering, I was like, if that's something you would do, or you just make her watch the first three.
That's a tough one now. You know, because part of me wants her to watch The Phantom Menace, just to see how she reacts to Jar Jar Binks.
Okay. I was like, what, are you trying to punish your daughter?
I think so, you know, that's a problem.
Life is hard.
There's
Phantom Menace.
Because, like, I remember sitting in the theater watching that piece of shit.
Oh, I know.
And I was so pissed.
We all came out, like, wanting to smile.
Right.
And everything had broken in your heart.
Exactly. Right?
It was like, yeah,
I'm sorry. I don't give a shit. I know there's some people that love, absolutely love the first three movies. Because that's what they grew up with. Right.
Oh, those people are horrible people.
And then they watch 4 and 5 and 6. They're like, "Oh, this is stupid." I'm like,
"You're
oh,
a horrible person." Exactly. You say that, you're a horrible person.
Man, just ugh.
That is full nerd judgment there.
Total. I mean, it's total. Worse I thought than, this like totally
worse
died
than
inside.
Kirk versus Picard judgment.
You know, I tried to get my nieces to watch Dark Crystal.
They weren't having it, were they?
No, Gerard? They were not having it at all.
That's like meeting a person who doesn't like cake. Who doesn't like cake, Gerard? Who doesn't like cake? Those people are out of.
They were just they were just so stuck on the fact that they're puppets and not fucking CGI that they just could not enjoy, you know, the movie. And it's the same thing, but Labyrinth they liked.
Okay.
Labyrinth they liked.
Have you shown them Willow?
Oh, you know what? I couldn't find Willow on the Netflix. So.
No, it's not, but they just released the 25th anniversary Blu-ray. Yeah. I think I'm going to go in and get any after we're done here.
Yeah, I think so.
I love Willow. She kicked me in the head.
Willow was great. Willow was a great movie, and just the rapport between Joanne Whalley and Val Kilmer's character,
yeah.
I mean, just fantastic.
Oh, Marty in there,
loved it.
So
yeah. Like, Ron Howard did a good movie.
Yeah. Now, have you watched Clone Wars, the TV show?
No, I have not. Everybody
really?
Tells me I should.
That see that's like that brought it back for me.
Yeah.
That brought my
I've
Star Wars.
I watched a couple of episodes here and there,
God,
but
it's been so damn good.
Yeah.
They did this one last season with like these younglings trying to find the crystal for their lightsaber.
Right.
Oh, man. And so now they said, you know, Dave Filoni is in charge of that. Again, he was in charge of Avatar The Last Airbender.
Mm-hmm.
And there's just the storytelling is fantastic. I love all the new bounty hunter villains. They're
nice.
So good. And it just feels like Star Wars.
Yeah.
In the way the prequels never could.
Right.
You know?
But that is a series that I'm definitely going to let my daughter watch. Is Avatar: The Last Airbender.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
And Korra as well.
Korra's good. It was tough for my nieces because they grew up with Avatar and they love Aang.
Yeah.
You know, and then
to know that he's not going
to. Yeah, and to know that he's dead now. And
yeah.
Korra and their complaint with it was, you know, Korra's adventures are a little more darker.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, they're not as. You know, there's not that whole, like, Team Avatar thing going on. There's,
no, it's not as
not really the comedic sidekick, even though the one brother.
Yeah, he's
out
kind
of the fire
team
is kind of like that, or the earthbender guy.
But he's no, you know, even Toph, who was so angry, was still lighthearted.
Yeah, no, there was a lot more. I want to say there was a lot more comedy in the first Avatar series.
Yeah. I think that.
But I like it. I think it's a good progression. You know, you grew up with these lighthearted characters, and now I'm like, here's reality, bitches, deal with it. You know?
Yeah, you know, it's a reflection of the world growing.
Yeah.
Into, like, you know, they obviously are going through an industrial revolution.
Exactly.
It's set in, like, the 1920s gang era, right, kind of thing. So, I mean, there's quite a bit of time that's passed. Was it 80 years or something like that?
Yep.
Since Aang killed the Fire Lord? Spoilers. Yeah, so, I don't know. I mean, I think it was, yeah, definitely a good progression. I can't wait till the next season.
But I mean, you know, I'm really glad there's a lot of good, you know, we talked earlier about, you know, how much crap is on TV. Mm. And it kind of shows. I mean, you look at what's on primetime television, and it's like, God, if I see another doctor show that comes on, really? It's like,
yeah, seriously.
It's like,
it's like 1980s lawyer show.
Let's make a realistic doctor show from the patient side of things, where you actually go in, you get denied because you don't have good health care, you get shitty service, and if you do have a good insurance, they make you go through a whole series of battery tests and still can't figure out what the fuck is wrong with you.
And there ain't
that's
no good
a doctor
lighting
show that I haven't seen.
Ain't no good lighting or computers at work.
Exactly.
And those nurses aren't funny. Great.
Yeah.
They're all homely.
What else is... I mean, there's like what, top shows. There's been a couple of fireman shows, you know.
Rescue Me was pretty freaking good.
Yeah, well, it's Dennis Leary.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, the writing on it was pretty damn good.
It's good. Yeah.
You know, the whole, like, my brother died in 9/11.
You know, but there was like,
was great.
You had that. You had The Shield.
Oh, man.
You had The Wire.
Justified's pretty fucking good.
Justified's,
man,
a good show.
I like that.
You know, Americans, have you watched The Americans? That's a pretty good show. I do enjoy it, but it's like one of those shows that I have to be in the mindset to watch because it gets pretty.
That's how I am with Breaking Bad.
Breaking Bad is another one of those shows.
I'm going to be so glad. Like, someone said the other day, like, I'm just going to be glad when that fucking show is over so I don't have to be like, don't text me, Breaking Bad. It's like, oh, God, really?
Well, people, that's the thing, right? That's what's so great about certain shows is that people get so enwrapped into it and it becomes like a water cooler topic.
Oh, without a doubt.
You know, back in the day, we had that show, the original V.
Yeah, yeah.
And like, the next day in the playground, everybody was talking about the alien baby.
Right.
And that was just, like, so messed up.
Well, you saw that. Have you seen that Portlandia skit about Battlestar Galactica?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Where they're just sitting in the house.
Have you heard of that show called Doctor Who? I was like, oh, God.
This season of Doctor Who was a real big letdown for me.
I haven't watched the last, like, three episodes.
The last three episodes are the best ones so far.
And I started watching the Cybermen episode, the Neil Gaiman one.
Yeah. That one was
Iron
good.
Man Silver, Iron Man.
The one, so the, yeah, so the episode before that.
I need to watch it.
It was, I believe that's the one with Diane Lane and her daughter.
Okay.
That was a great episode.
Okay, I need to watch those three.
Then the Cyberman episode.
And then The Name of the Doctor.
And The Name of the Doctor.
That fucking DVD's already out. I saw it at Target today.
Are you serious?
I'm not lying.
Well, that's what I'm saying. They show it in the UK earlier. It's like Downton Abbey.
Do they?
I believe so.
I thought they debuted at the same time.
Oh, really? No. Yeah. I think that's earlier.
Well, like 6 hours.
Maybe.
Earlier.
Oh, the DVD? Britain
does dumb shit. Damn. They can fucking
I enjoyed it. I still got to go back and watch this. Those are the first episode of the season.
The Bells of St. John. I like
was
that.
Was great. Yeah. That was great.
And the Christmas episode was fantastic.
And the episode after Bells, horrible.
I didn't care for the TARDIS episode. I really wanted to.
Yeah, the TARDIS episode.
I was like really excited.
The submarine episode. I was like, eh.
Although the submarine episode had the guy who played
Davros.
Yeah, well, he also played a Ra's al Ghul in the Batman the Animated Series.
Yeah,
old guy.
Oh, that's right. That's
detective.
Right.
Detective. Like, gosh, why can't you always be Ra's al Ghul? I'm not going to call him Ra's al Ghul.
They had the captain of the sub played plays a character in Game of Thrones.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. And I don't want to ever, like, you know, the funny thing is, like, I love that Game of Thrones. I just don't ever want to hear about it ever again.
Really? Why is that?
Because no one will shut the fuck up about it.
Really?
I love Game of Thrones. It's not on tonight. I'm really mad. Life is over. There is no.
And that's what's great about some shows, though, right? I mean, people are so diehard about it. I mean, that's the thing. People will subscribe to HBO or torrent the shit crap.
You know,
right.
I wonder how much Netflix is, like, membership shot up when Arrested Development came on this weekend.
Exactly.
I stayed up until, well, I'm a night owl anyways, but when 1 a.m. hit, I was like, it's on. My life is good again. I love Arrested Development. What can I say? And I've only watched four episodes because I'm kind of piecemealing it because I think, like, a lot of people are like, the way the creator described it, and there's, you know how they filmed it with all separate people.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, just don't watch it all at once because you're not, he's like, if you watch every, like, comedy, you're just going to get laughed out and then you're just going to be disappointed.
Right.
And I've heard that from a lot of people who didn't, like, read that article.
Mm-hmm.
And as I've been watching it piecemeal, I'm just, like, every episode is awesome. I'm loving it. I'm like, this is great. I'm in love with these characters, these, the satire. See,
I wasn't a big fan of the show when it was on.
Oh, I don't know what it is. I love it. And I know what it is that it's, there's these little satires and jabs, especially at the entertainment industry,
mm-hmm.
that I'm just, and you know, like someone like Ron Howard will roll with it. He's,
right.
You know, he's in it. He's the narrator. But they kind of make fun of his company and Jerry Bruckheimer's company at one point. And same with the old series. And I was like, God, you know, it was like, they're just slightly small little jabs that just, like, make this show for me.
Right.
And that's what I love about it. I was like, this is great. I was like, there's, and that's the same thing with a show like Mad Men. To a lesser extent, like a lot with Game of Thrones as well. There's the little things that make you love it. Like, the little things with the characters. But especially with Arrested Development, I feel like it's very smart. And that's kind of why it's like, I don't know, it's this is going to come off arrogant, but it's like, yeah, you know, the masses of people won't get into it.
Yeah. Well, totally.
Yeah.
Well, that's kind of what we talked about, is like, you have those shows that people are just...
The Big Bang Theory crowd won't get it.
Right, exactly. I'm sure somebody... But it's kind of the same thing that I feel for Community. I love that show.
Oh, without a doubt.
Right? You know,
that show's always funny. Season 5, it's coming.
Yep, season 5 is coming. I'm really happy about that. Even though this season didn't have Dan Harmon, I still thought it was good for the worst episode of Community is still better than, you know, most of the crap that's on TV right now. And, you know, it's like, but, you know, getting back to, like, the popularity of a show like Arrested Development, and then you see how, you know, it's kind of having the same parallel track as a show like Family Guy.
Right.
You know, great show.
Fox.
Taking off the air. You know, but I think this is the, you know, earlier when we spoke about it, this is the future of television.
Without
a
doubt.
You know, it's not going to be the networks. It's going to be stuff on YouTube.
Yeah.
You know, Burning Love, I think, that's on YouTube.
Yeah.
You know.
House of Cards on Netflix.
House of Cards on Netflix.
Hemlock Grove. If you watch that.
No, I haven't watched Hemlock Grove.
Oh, man.
No.
That's good.
Yeah, I'm going to have to check that out.
And then it's kind of in a similar vein of, what's that show?
Orphan
Black. I've heard it's fantastic.
I've watched every single episode except this last one.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
That's amazing.
I think it's a good show. It's a smart show. It's different. Yeah. I mean, you know.
Yeah, but I think you're totally right. It's like, I'm holding my iPhone. I like the convenience, and the dogs are looking at me. Who was that? Is that a treat? I can watch all my Arrested Development on my iPhone.
Right.
I mean, I just love the convenience of it.
Yep.
If I can, you know, if I were to say I'm going to take a 30-minute lunch break, I can watch TV.
Yeah.
Or if I'm in the bathroom.
Right.
You know, it's just one of those. Some people read, like, you know, a 500-page book in the bathroom.
Damn.
Sometimes. You know how it is. You know how some guys are.
Oh, okay. A little TMI there.
Yeah. But, I mean, so...
No, I hear what you're saying. And that's exactly the point we're trying to make, you know, as far as where the entertainment industry is going to be headed into. It's, you know, you look at... go back to Family Guy. You know, I was not a big fan of Family Guy. I liked it, but I wasn't, like, super crazy
about
it.
Yeah, you were just about it, yeah.
But, you know, you put it on Adult Swim, you take it off the air, you know... I'm up at 2 a.m. It's a great show to watch.
Yeah, same with American Dad, actually.
You buy the DVD. Sure, I'll buy the DVDs because, you know, it's something that I can just throw in and have them playing constantly over and over again while I draw or do some artwork, right?
Yeah, exactly.
And now it's on Fox, and I don't even watch any of the new episodes.
Yeah, I don't either. I mean...
But I'll come back. There's times where I'll just go because I have on demand, you know, and I'll just watch. I'll just watch a whole run of them instead of, you know, waiting every Sunday night to do it.
Yeah.
So I guess the point I'm trying to make with all this thing is, like, you really can't judge by the ratings. And
no,
I think that's why they see, I think that's what executives are trying to see right now. People want smart shows.
There's definitely an audience for it.
It doesn't have to be super, you know, crazy with the budget. I think if you have something that's quality written in a center.
You look at what Amazon's doing right now.
Mm.
You know, they just scooped up a whole ton of, like, programming.
Yeah.
And when there's a band, a yacht.
Yeah.
they're kind of like a, they're almost like a little cult. But, you know, we've seen, I've seen them live a couple times, like very dancey, like kind of dancey rock. And the same vein that LCD Sound System was, mm-hmm. but they definitely have their own philosophy on life and death. And that makes them very, you know, culty kind of fun.
Yep.
But they're doing a TV show through Amazon about touring as a band, as a comedy. I was like, ah, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Like that's not a lawyer show. Yeah. It's not a comp show. It's about a band touring. I can't name any other, besides the Partridge Family, I can't name anything else with that concept. I was like, so, yeah, I mean, it's going to be on Amazon, whatever. Yeah,
I can't think of anything off the top of my head right now.
Yeah. And so...
I mean, what you think about the stuff that we grew up watching? I mean, what did we have growing up?
BJ and the Bear.
Well, no, I mean, we had TV, right?
Yeah, yeah.
We had TV. We also had MTV when we actually like watching music videos.
Yeah, yeah, that was fun.
Now it's like, you know, well,
I'm 16 and pregnant or whatever the fuck they're showing on there.
And the only places to watch music videos is on again YouTube.
Yeah,
you know?
Which is, you know, it's kind of like Spotify. You know, like I'll just pick out. I don't want to wait 4 hours to see. Like, I remember high school waiting 4 hours to see a Nirvana video during like 13 hours of, you know, Puff. It's not Puff Daddy. Who have Dr. Dre videos. Or whatever was popular.
Whatever was in heavy rotation on it.
Yeah. But yeah, it's totally, it's really kind of cool to see how TV has changed to more of like, you know, with choices. I mean, you go from like having three channels to 58 channels. Mm-hmm. And then you go to, you know, 100 and 900 and something channels with HD options. And then you have, then all of a sudden the streaming world comes in. There's on demand. You're getting more choices with your content. And it's like, it's weird to see how, like, that those choices are starting to play out with what people really want.
Right.
You know, and it's weird. Like, you see some of the ratings are good, some of the ratings are bad. And I was like, yeah, it's weird because, like, the Thundercats show is a perfect example. They brought it back with a new mythology. It was fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
But then Cartoon Network was like, we're going to put it on Friday nights. We're not going to make it available online. It's not on demand. And I was like, fuck, dude. Nobody sits in it. Like,
well, that's the thing. It's like, I don't know of anybody that makes it a priority to stay home on a Friday night. And that's the thing.
Or even
that's
not look at the play HBO. Games on a Friday night.
Yeah.
You know,
I mean, Game of Thrones is a perfect example because, you know, they show it, you know, more than once during the week.
Yeah. Well, Mad Men, they have like a 3-hour block on Sunday nights.
Yeah. Well, same thing with Walking Dead.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can catch it this time. I mean, again, another must see show, right?
Yeah. Maybe I enjoy Walking Dead. You know, as much as like I'm burnt out on zombies, it's not about the zombies. That's kind of why I like
What's the next thing you think after zombies?
Gosh.
Witches? Oh, well, they had, what was that one show with the three, with Alyssa Milano and?
Oh God, Charmed.
Charmed. Did you ever watch that show?
Alyssa, the girl I dated for a long time, was a big fan.
She was just Eric's girlfriend. You don't have to drop her name.
It's all right.
That's all right.
I'm comfortable.
Well, there was that, and like Supernatural has been running on forever, and I've caught a couple episodes.
I've never seen it. I've heard it's good. Yeah. It's on Netflix. I'm just too lazy to watch it.
You know, that's the
thing. I love those Netflix documentaries. I'm not gonna lie. There's one that's on. Not to break our subject, The Woman Who Wasn't There.
Mm-hmm.
You gotta watch this.
Okay.
This woman, survivor, and the title gives it away, unfortunately,
mm-hmm.
survivor of 9/11.
Mm-hmm.
She's not only a survivor, but she's like the head of like all these survivor groups, outreaches,
right.
And she was like in the news for years and years.
And she was never even there.
Exactly.
Wow.
Not even in the fucking country.
Wow.
It's such a damn good documentary because you're like, holy fuck. That is fucked. Like, who would do that? And then they kind of go into her mindset, like,
jeez,
how she grew up. They interview her friends, and wow, dude.
Delusional, huh?
It's A+.
Wow.
Yeah, they were talking about it on the Get Up On It podcast.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, I saw that before you guys talked about it. Cool. Yeah. I felt cool for a minute. And the funny thing about that documentary is that they do a lot of, like, painted art in it, just to recreate some of these scenes.
Wow.
Really, really well done documentary. Yes. Really, really well. I love Netflix documentaries. There's some crazy shit in there.
Yeah.
30 for 30, Bo Jackson. Amazing.
I'll have to check it out.
I would never have thought Bo Jackson is a bow hunter.
Wow.
Right, yeah.
That's just wrinkled my brain.
Like, I want to hang out with Bo Jackson. He seems cool. I hated sports when I was a kid. I was a Bo Jackson fan, though.
Yeah. Bo knows, right?
Bo knows.
He's the one that started it. Yeah. Anyway, let's bring it back to the topic from this weekend. You know, hopefully we'll have some time. I think there's a couple of people that invited me out in the evening.
Oh yeah,
I think so. I'll try to see as I'm perusing through my phone because they have my dance card. But yeah, no, I haven't really responded to anybody as of yet because I just kind of wanted to. Yeah, I'm being a total jerk. I just kind of want to see what everybody's doing.
Yeah, I always
don't like making plans. I just, you know, you
have to go on. Yeah,
yeah, because you know I'm just like you. I'm going to be seeing some guys that I haven't seen in a year already.
Yeah.
You know, we'll probably, you know, hopefully we can catch up if we can.
My friend Meg and her boyfriend are coming out from Utah. I've never met her, but in the 2 years we've been Twitter buddies and Facebook friends. We're just
That's the thing about incredible social media. Friendship. Yeah. That's the one thing that I do want to talk about. So not on this episode, but on a future episode, definitely talk about the social media because, yeah, when I was sitting at your table last year, I had a couple of girls come up to me. It's like, are you Zach Kinsella? Do I look like a white guy?
With Happy Cinco de Mayo.
Have you seen? I mean, like, your picture's on Facebook. Your picture's on Twitter.
Yeah.
Or even your caricature's on there. I mean, yeah, I don't remember. Anyway, but she's like, I've been friends with him on Facebook for so long. I just finally wanted to meet him. I'm like, okay. Yeah, that's not me. So.
It's weird. Interesting. It's funny.
It's interesting. Yeah. Now I'm really looking forward to Denver Comic Con. It's going to be a big deal. You know, the big cons that I like to go to, obviously, will be the Denver Comic Con, and then you know we'll see if NDK is there.
We're looking at. I'm thinking I want to add Phoenix into our repertoire.
Mm-hmm.
I liked Emerald City, but I think it was kind of too big for us,
right,
as being independent.
Yeah.
I want to do Portland. Now, we talked about this before, but you know, I want to add more cons into our rotation.
Well, that's the thing. Like, there's so many cons coming up, and I mean, I didn't realize how many cons there were down in the Springs.
Yeah, you know? That's just kind of like Rio Herrera,
yeah.
Has been doing all sorts of cons. We did a signing, that signing in Manitou Springs.
Yeah.
That could have been a convention itself. There were so many people that came out for us.
Yeah, it's interesting how these conventions are popping up. So we'll start. You know, we'll start to see a lot of people kind of building on that whole San Diego Comic-Con,
yeah,
you know, New York Comic-Con.
Well, I think eventually Denver is going to be, it's going to start to be a destination convention.
Right. I definitely think so. But, you know, my other concern is, like, will it get to the point where, like, it's too much, you know?
I think, yeah, that's the danger.
You know, that's the thing. Like, with all these cons
like
and
New York
conventions,
Comic-Con, it's too much.
Right.
San Diego, it's too much. I mean, if you're a small guy, they have small press areas,
right,
that are still less expensive. Like, Stan Yan does pretty well at San Diego.
Right.
You know, granted, though, Stan Yan does the zombies and the bronies, so he still gets a lot of press that way, but he has a couple great web comics.
Mm-hmm.
So he's got more irons in the fire.
Well, he's somebody that will definitely bring on the show and pick his brain and talk to him.
Well, he's been out to San Diego for, you know, just as long as we have. Right. You know? We've gone as spectators most of the time. But, yeah, it's interesting. I was like, I always want, because I know Dan and, or not, you know, not Dan, Charlie and Frank that run Denver Comic Con, mm-hmm, I always want to be out here to support it.
Right.
You know, those guys have never been anything but awesome.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I don't know. It's hard
to run a convention. I mean, you know, we saw what happened with Comic Fest and how many times it's flipped over and
right,
over
yeah,
and things like that. So.
Yeah, and you know, those guys made a serious run at it and have made it a success so far.
Yeah.
And we'll see how this year's con goes. A lot of people are like, oh, a second year in a convention can always be really shitty. Whatever.
Yeah, well, the second year from as far as people that I've talked to, a lot more people are trying to make a go at getting out here. So.
Right, exactly. And the People's Fair is the same weekend. So that should be interesting.
Wow.
Yeah. Whatever that crap is in the park where they sell used paintings and spices and shit.
Yeah. Wow.
I've only been through this a couple of times.
Yeah, no, I've been to the People's Fair a couple of times as well. Like, last weekend, we were in that area
where
American Ninja Warrior they were taping there.
Wow. That was cool.
It was a little clusterfuck, though.
Oh, I'm sure.
Horrible.
I mean, I wish I had known before, so I could have walked. I could have walked down there.
Yeah. Oh yeah, you could have, because we didn't really get into till 9:15.
Wow.
Yeah.
Damn.
We got there at 4 o'clock. Yeah, ooh, wow. We got there at 4 o'clock, waited in three different lines. Had to move to three different lines because nobody kind of figured out what the fuck they were doing.
Wow.
And it was the first night, and the first time in Denver, so I understand.
Yeah.
And so maybe four guys ran the course, and then... Yeah. So...
Did you go the next two nights?
No, hell no. I was so burnt out. I had so much other stuff to do. I mean, really, we were there for almost 10 hours.
Damn, dude.
You know, and I was like, I was not going to stay there till 3 a.m.
It's like getting there to meet, like, you know, Stan Lee, waiting in those lines in Comic-Con.
That was, you know what? I've never waited. That's the longest wait I've ever been.
Or Space Mountain. I went in line for Space Mountain for like 4 hours.
4 hours for Space Mountain?
Yeah, because my uncle, he's like, let's go see Pirates of the Caribbean. I was like, I don't care. I want to go on Space Mountain.
Jeez, no.
Space Mountain was amazing.
I've never waited that long for Space Mountain. But I'm sure this day and age, you probably will.
It's so weird, though. It's the greatest roller coaster ever made.
It'll be fun. But no, so this weekend, right?
This weekend.
Denver Comic Con.
I'll be at table A20.
And I'll be at table...
X36.
I don't know. I have no idea what table
I thought it was like C something. Because Scott was making some awful pun. Like, we're the cool kid. Like, shut up, Scott. You don't have hair in your head.
Oh, my God. Really? Oh, boy. Scott's going to get a kick out of it. We'll have to have him on our podcast.
Well, especially you see all the shit me and him talk back and forth to each other on Twitter.
Yeah. It'll be funny as hell. Oh, God. Yeah. I don't know. We'll see what happens. But no, we'll look forward to it. But if, you know, we definitely don't get the opportunity to podcast at Denver Comic Con, we'll probably podcast after it.
Oh, yeah.
Most definitely podcast after
I'll be
it.
Sleeping all day Monday. Probably sleeping off alcohol, to be honest with you.
It'll be
Denver is the greatest place for craft beer in the world. Why wouldn't you?
It is. No, we'll have some interesting stories to tell or talk about, and you know probably half of these people that we've name dropped maybe see if they want to join us or not.
See,
yeah, we'll see if we're talking crap about these people.
Yeah, we'll see if we can just get some more crap talking.
Yeah,
let's just
start some Twitter wars. Or
yeah,
something.
You look like shit today. We should just rename the podcast. You're an asshole.
Well, that's it for this episode of Urban Suplex. We'll be back next week or sometime this weekend, like I said, with some coverage from Denver Comic Con, which we're all excited about. In the meantime, if you want to check this out, you can check Zach Kinsella out on his website.
ZachKinsella.com, ZakKinsella.com.
Or you can check me out on my website, GKaiHui.com. You're just going to have to figure out how to spell it now. It's KAAIHUE. And I want to thank our sponsors, Blue Drink Studios, for helping us set up all this with the website, the logos, the podcast, and everything else. So for Zach Kinsella, I'm Gerard Kaihui. Zach, you want to say anything before we go tonight?
No.
All right. We'll see you guys next time. Thanks.